So before I start my testimony, I do want to clear some things up. 2 weeks ago or a few weeks ago, I shared a devotional, and it started out with a story about me getting locked in a bathroom. You guys remembered it. So I forgot to close the story, and about 20 of you guys reached out to me, texted me, berated me. And so here's the answer. It took me 2.5 hours inside the bathroom. I was fiddling with the lock the whole time. And at some point, the lock finally opened up, and I was finally able to get out of the bathroom after 2.5 hours. So, hopefully that's a nice closure. And to there were two people who asked me, did you get out of the bathroom? No, I did not get out of the bathroom. So yeah, if you guys don't know me, my name is Ashish, and I became a Christian when I was 16. If you're interested in hearing about my salvation and about my salvation testimony, I gave a testimony about 4 years ago that details that. And I got saved when I was 16 during my sophomore year of high school. At that age, a lot of my identity was built into comedy and social standing. I wanted to be funny, I wanted to be liked, I wanted to be known by people. And as everyone knows, that's a very stable foundation for your identity because, as everyone knows, high schoolers are famously consistent and very emotionally stable. We're not. So when I came to my faith, I began to understand that something had changed in my life. I didn't have to perform my way into an identity. I didn't have to be the funniest person in the room, and I didn't have to impress the right people to have a place. Through Jesus, I was already a child of God. And the story of my life after being saved has really just been learning this lesson over and over and over again. I stopped building my identity on being funny, but I quickly found more respectable ways to pursue this identity. Instead of asking, do people like me, I started asking myself, am I successful? Am I talented? Am I actually going somewhere in life? That idol within me got a LinkedIn account, and college was when I had to make my faith my own. I had to find out whether I actually trusted God in my life when my life really didn't make sense at times. That became especially real when I started applying for internships and jobs. I applied to 1,998 internships over the course of my college career. Not almost 2,000, actually 1,998. And I know this because I kept a spreadsheet. Some people process their difficult seasons with journaling. Some people go on long walks and pray. I process mine with rows, columns, and very aggressive conditional formatting. But the hardest part of all of this was that I knew that I was capable. I knew that I could do the job, and I knew that if somebody would just give me a chance, I could do the work. But opportunity after opportunity went nowhere. The rejection emails started blending together, and I would be able to tell a rejection email by the first line of the email in the preview. If it started with thank you, it was a rejection. Thank you for your interest. After careful consideration, we've decided to move forward with more qualified candidates. And some arrived so quickly that I was sure that there was no careful consideration other than if my name fit in the template. But underneath that frustration, I began to realize that my mentality was that if I just worked hard enough, if I just grinded enough, life would recognize it. And I believed that the world was fair, and I truly, truly believe that. And the question began to God, God, if you gave me these abilities, if you gave me all of this talent, why won't you let anybody see it? Eventually, after a particular difficult stretch of applying and seeing a lot of rejections, I was driving down to San Diego with my dad when I received an offer at a really great company. After 1,998 rejections, the answer came to me while I was driving down to San Diego. I'd spent months tracking everything in a spreadsheet, optimizing every part of the process, looking at my resume 1,000 times, networking, and refreshing my inbox, but the answer came while I was just sitting in traffic. That moment felt like a rescue, and at the time I thought the testimony was just, I trusted God, I applied 1,998 times, and God gave me an impressive job. And it's a nice story, but it's actually not the deepest one. The deeper story is that God had been present not only in the final moment, but he had been as present in application one as he was in application 1000. The offer was a gift, but it was just the moment when his faithfulness was the easiest to recognize. Last fall, another unexpected door opened in my career, and I began working at a really fast-moving startup that I really wanted to work at. And it's been an incredible opportunity, and I've worked here for some time now, and it's also made my life incredibly busy. Busyness makes you feel important while slowly making you inattentive to small things. Your calendar is really full while your soul and your social battery runs on 4%. More recently, the challenges have become much bigger than work. I struggle deeply with anxiety, and there are situations that I can't really neatly explain from up here on this stage. They feel heavy, painful, and frightening. Anxiety has this weird way of making the future feel like a dangerous place while the present feels unbearable. And it makes ordinary things, things that are very small, feel very overwhelming. And at times, a difficult season sounds like a too polite term for what it is. It's oftentimes felt closer to what Psalm 23 calls going through the valley of the shadow of death. Valleys expose what success can often hide. When life is going well, it's easy to say that God is faithful. But what happens when there's no clean outcome? When that prayer that you've been praying for years is still being prayed? God hasn't changed things in the way that you hoped. And this is where my faith is being made my own now. Faith has often in the past been a set of truths that I believe. And now it's becoming a way that I hold on even when I know that I'm not strong enough to carry myself. Recently, there's this song that I've been returning to a lot called Manna by Chris Renzema. And the idea that stuck with me is the last line of this song. Whether or not I recognize the miracles hidden in the mundane, the bread of heaven is offered either way. In scripture, manna was provision. It was daily provision. It couldn't be stockpiled for the next day. God specifically forbade it. The Israelites had to receive enough that they needed for that day and trust that God would provide the next. I would prefer quarterly manna. Ideally, God would give me some detailed forecast. He'd give me some milestones, a risk assessment. He'd send me a 6-page memo with reasons for why all of the hard and difficult situations in my life are happening. And I would leave some comments, approve it, and we would be on our way. But it doesn't work that way. Oftentimes, God just gives me grace for today. And right now, enough for today is not some small gift. It's actually everything. I'm learning that manna is not found after the valley. It's actually found inside it. Psalm 23 doesn't say that God leads us around the valley. It says that even when we walk through it, that God, we don't have to fear because God is with us. That phrase, "you are with me," is becoming much more important to me than an explanation for my situation. I still want the explanation, and I would gladly accept it if God chose to give it to me. But slowly I'm learning that the greatest gift that God gives me is not always an answer, some opportunity, or some changed circumstance. It's himself. In my anxiety, his presence is not some nice addition to an otherwise manageable life. It's my daily bread. The God who met me at 16 is still teaching me that I am his child. My identity is not secured by being funny, being successful, being busy or strong, or somehow spiritually impressive. It's not strengthened by opportunity or weakened by suffering. My identity was given to me through Jesus. My testimony is not that I trusted God perfectly and everything worked out. Some things remain painful and unresolved beyond the surface. My testimony is that God remains faithful. He was faithful in the breakthrough on the drive to San Diego. He was faithful in the 1,998 rejections that preceded it. And he's faithful now in the anxiety and in the situations that feel like the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes his faithfulness is dramatic, but more often, it looks like manna, just quiet daily grace that I miss when I'm moving too quickly and looking for miracles that are big enough to put on my resume. Whether or not I recognize the miracles hidden in the mundane, the bread of heaven is offered either way. My prayer is that I would receive it today, trust him again tomorrow, and remember that even in the valley, we do not walk alone.